Wow, that's all I can say, as we are so privileged to have such talented people in this congregation that we can celebrate a day such as this with such sound and just amazingness. Hello, it's been a while. I do want to send greetings from the Spokane, Chilliwa, and Tri-Cities congregations. It happens to work out. Paul Moody is the pastor of those churches as well as churches in West Africa. So he travels back and forth, and as I'm able to work out the schedule with the ministry up there, I try to help them out during those times when Paul is gone, and maybe to speak and do what I can to be of service. But it's good to be back with all of you, to see so many friendly, familiar faces. There are a couple of traditions that we have that I want to thank people for. First of all, last night, the Toast to the Kingdom, Bob, Gina, and Jesse Brown for hosting it. What a way to start the fall holiday season with koinonia, with breaking of bread. Also, the tradition of feast baskets that will be delivered during this today and through the week. And then we have now the new tradition of breaking bread and koinonia after the holy days, and you all are welcome for that. We have so many wonderful traditions that start this fall holiday season, and just thank all those for the work and effort in putting that together. I want to thank John Velasquez for almost taking my sermon today. But you'll see, with the Feast of Trumpets, it's easy to have a lot of connectivity. But I do appreciate what he said, and will tie into much of what I'm going to say today. So God's festivals and the holy days within them fall in three seasons of the year: the early spring harvest, the late spring harvest, and the late summer to early autumn harvest in the land of biblical Israel. And the themes of these days portray God's spiritual harvest of mankind to eternal life spoken by Jesus Christ. The days we observe reminds us of how God's plan gives eternal life to all mankind. Our Creator will bring his plan to fruition in spite of man's choices, in spite of man's actions, that has consistently led to separation from God and leading to suffering and death. We can see the results of man with the horrible carnage of war, the poverty that is around the world, man's inhumanity to man, the rampant use of illicit drugs, crime, discrimination, the loss of moral values that leads to moral relativism, the belief that morality is subject to one's person's views. Yes, there are good things happening as well. People looking out for one another in times of disasters, kindness in the community, those who stand up for what is right. However, when we consider all these things, mankind is lost. Mankind is hurting. The biblical festivals reveal the unfolding of God's plan for humanity and how he will establish his kingdom on this earth. This is the good news, or the gospel, that Jesus Christ preached. And what is the outcome of that plan? Let's turn to Revelation 21, verse 3. And we'll read through verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 3. And it states, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Every tear. Because how many tears are being shed even as we speak in the world today. But every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Step by step, God's holy day shows us how this incredible picture, what we just read, will become a reality. One of these biblical festivals showing the steps of God's plan is the day we're keeping today, the Feast of Trumpets. And when we think of the Feast of Trumpets, our minds readily focus to the time in the New Testament where Jesus Christ reveals that he will return to this earth. There'll be a blowing of seven trumpets announcing progressive stages of the downfall and the overthrow of the world's kingdoms, ending with the return of Jesus Christ to take possession of this earth. We know that Christ's return is announced by the seventh and final trumpet. In addition, the day pictures a time when faithful Christians will be resurrected to eternal life at the time of the seventh trumpet. Let's take a look at a few of the scriptures that point this out. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 52. And it states, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We would turn there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And it states, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And the dead who are risen up will reign with Christ for the millennium, for the thousand-year period." Let's turn there, Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. And it states in Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But at the end, the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It will be an incredible time. The sounding of the trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ, the raising of the saints. However, if we only focus on this aspect of the Feast of Trumpets, that is the prophecy relating to the return of Jesus Christ, we could be missing out of its meaning for our walk today. Prophetically, the day is exciting. The day is something we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to this day not only for us, but for the entire earth. And we are praying for it, and we are excited about it. But the day is more than just the prophetic events of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth, as foretold in the Bible. And the richness of this day, some of the richness of this day, can be found by exploring some of the imagery and symbolism from the Old Testament. So for my message today, I would like to focus on that imagery and symbolism of the trumpet and its application for us today. The title of my message is Feast of Trumpets, The Call. Now, as a backdrop to this message, I'd like to go into a brief historical review of the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is observed on the first day of the seventh month, which after the Babylonian exile was called the first of Tishri. The original practice of identifying months by their numerical order was eventually abandoned in favor of the Babylonian names for the months. Thus, the first day of the seventh month became known as the first day of Tishri. It's important to note that the new moon signaled the beginning of the month. In ancient Israel, the new moon, or the first day of the month, was celebrated with special offerings and the blowing of trumpets. The new moon celebrations were not just commanded holy days, but were observed an essential part of the calculation of the annual holy days. However, on the first day of the seventh month, a new moon is also a Sabbath, a holy day to be celebrated, that which we are doing today. However, rather than numbering the month, the Jews that called the day Rosh Hashanah, which is known as the Jewish New Year. But why is that term used? I like to read from how Yom Terah became Rosh Hashanah, Nehemiah's Wall, September 11th, 2023. One field of Babylonian religious influence was the observance of Yom Terah as a New Year's celebration. From the very early times, the Babylonians had a lunar solar calendar very similar to the biblical calendar. The result was that Yom Terah often fell on the same day as the Babylonian New Year's festival of Akitu. The Babylonian Akitu fell out on the first day of Tishri, which coincided with Yom Terah on the first day of the seventh month. When the Jews started calling the seventh month by the Babylonian day Tishri, it paved the way for turning Yom Teruah into a Jewish Akitu. At the same time, the rabbis did not want to adopt Akitu outright, so they Judaized it by changing the name to Yom Teruah, Day of Shouting, to Rosh Hashanah, New Year's. The fact that the Torah did not give a reason for Yom Teruah made no doubt made it easier for the rabbis to proclaim it the Jewish New Year's. The Babylonians celebrated Akitu, New Year's, twice a year. I like to read an excerpt from the Babylonian Akitu Festival and the Ritual Humiliation of the King from the Ancient Near East Today, September 2022. The spring Akitu took place in the month of Nisanu, March-April. This was the first month of the Babylonian calendar corresponding to the spring equinox. The second Akitu was performed in the seventh month, Tarishtu, September-October, corresponding to the autumn equinox. According to the article, one of the primary purposes of the festival was the biannual renewal of the king in the temple of Marduk, where the king uttered a protestation of his innocence to Marduk, asserting that he had not committed an offense against Marduk, Babylon, the Sagal, which is Marduk's temple, or the privileged subjects of Babylon. Suffice it to say, we are not celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's, as those of the Jewish faith are celebrating today. Rosh Hashanah, which occurs on the first 2 days of Tishri. Rosh Hashanah emphasizes reflection, repentance, renewal, marking the time to evaluate one's actions and seek forgiveness. It is observed with special prayers, the blowing of the shofar, festive meals during symbolic foods like apple and honey, representing wishes for a sweet new year, are partaken. These are good things to celebrate. But the name of the day being used by the Jews, Rosh Hashanah, obscures the meaning of the day. Instead, we are celebrating Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Let's take a look at the Hebrew words associated in Scripture with this day. The first is Leviticus 23, verse 24. Leviticus verse 23, chapter 23, verse 24. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, Leviticus 23, verse 24. It states, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with the blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. You shall present a food offering to the Lord." The Hebrew word translated for blast of trumpets is teruah, a shout, a blast of war, alarm, or joy. The NASB translation, the New American Standard Bible translation, gives various versions of teruah, as you can see with the number next to it. Alarm, battle cry, blowing, blowing trumpets, joy, joyful sound, resounding, shout, shout of alarm, shout of joy, shouted, shouting, shouts of joy, signal, trumpet blast, war cries, war cry. The word, Hebrew word translated memorial, is zikaron, and which means memorial or presence, a remembrance. The two words can literally be translated a remembrance blast. The second major reference is found in Numbers 29, verse 1. If we would turn there. Numbers 29, verse 1. Numbers 29, verse 1. It states, "And on the seventh month of the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for it's the day of the blowing of the trumpets." The feast, the Hebrew phrase Yom Teruah, literally means a day of blowing. The crucial word in both references is teruah. It should be noticed that the scriptures in Leviticus and Numbers referring to this day does not designate the particular instrument to be used. This feast is simply referred to as Yom Teruah, which is a day of blowing, as we saw in Numbers 29, or Zikaron Teruah, a remembrance blast, as we saw in Leviticus 23:2. Since the blowing of the trumpets became a distinguishing characteristic of the day, it became known as the Feast of Trumpets. Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible notes the following about this day. "The institution of the Feast of Trumpets on the first day of the seventh month, it was to be as other yearly Sabbaths, a day of holy rest. You shall do no servile work therein. A day of holy work, you shall offer an offering to the Lord concerning these particular directions were given, afterwards given." This is what here where made a peculiar to this festival is that it was a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. They blew the trumpet every new moon, but in the new moon of the seventh month, it was to be done with more than ordinary solemnity, for they began the blow at sunrise and continue to sunset. Can you imagine what it was like to hear the sound from sunrise to sunset, to be part of the people gathered, to see the sacrifices, and to hear the sound? Let's examine the use of trumpets as it relates to this day. The silver trumpets in the Old Testament symbolize a divine communication and unity. The term unity in this circumstance implies a sense of togetherness or purpose among the people of God under God's authority. The use of trumpets noted in Numbers 10, if you would like to turn there, we can gain further understanding what ancient Israel thought of when they heard those trumpets. The sound of the trumpet had its purpose. The Hebrew word for trumpet noted in Numbers 10 is katzotzerah, an ancient trumpet. So Numbers 10, let's turn there and let's examine the use of the silver trumpets. First of all, the trumpets were used for summoning and directing movement. Let's read Numbers 10, verses 1 through 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps." Verses 4 to 5 later show that if one trumpet was blown, only the heads of the tribe were gathered at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. If both were blown, the entire congregation was to gather. Secondly, the trumpets were also for an alarm, the call of war. In verse 9, it states, "When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies." Finally, the silver trumpet was used at the time of new moons, a time of gladness, when burnt offerings and peace offerings were made. Let's look at verse 10. "Also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before God. I am the Lord your God." The blowing of trumpets was a summoning. It was also an alarm to those who heard it. But it was also used at times of gladness, of thanksgiving, a call to remembrance that God is on his throne. But it should also be noticed that teruah could be produced with a shofar or ram's horn. And there is some discussion whether the trumpet or shofar or both were used on this day. Numbers 10:10, which we read earlier, indicates the trumpet was blown at the beginning of months and at the appointed feasts. However, Psalm 81, verse 3, if we would turn there, and other passages reveal that a shofar might have likely been used at this time. So Psalm 81, verse 3. It states in Psalm 81, verse 3, "Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day." The Hebrew word for trumpet here is shofar, a horn for blowing. Other translations, such as the New International Version, renders this scripture as follows: "Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full, and on the day of our festival." So one may wonder why the Feast of Trumpets became associated with the shofar, the ram's horn. Silver trumpets had far greater significance than the shofar because silver trumpets were widely used in conjunction with many sacrificial rites. Considering this matter, the symbolic nature of the shofar should be considered. The shofar would sound generated reminded Israel of the ram that was provided instead of the sacrifice of Isaac. And it reminded Israel of God's mercy and that God provides for his people. And we can see three examples in the Bible how the shofar was used. First, the shofar signaled impending judgment. Shofar symbolized impending judgment, serving as a warning to the people to repent and to prepare for God's intervention. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. It states in Zephaniah 1, verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near, and it is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the men cry out, shall cry out, that day of that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, which the Hebrew word here is shofar, an alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. Secondly, the sound of the shofar was a call to waken and turn back to God. Or as John Velasquez noted in the first message, repentance. Joel 2, verse 1. Joel 2, verse 1. It states in Joel 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet, again, here's the Hebrew word shofar, in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. The International Standard Version renders this verse as follows. Sound the ram's horn in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Tremble, all of you, inhabitants of the land, because the day of the Lord is coming. Oh, how near it is. And then down, let's go down to verse 13, where it states, so rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful and slow to anger and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Verse 13 highlights key attributes of God: his grace, his mercy, his patience, his steadfast love. These qualities reassure the people that God is willing to forgive and restore those who sincerely seek him. As seen in verse 1, the shofar was used to awaken the people to turn from their ways. The third use of the shofar was that the shofar signaled joy and celebration. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 28. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 28. And it states in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 28, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and with shouting and with the sound of the horn, again here the word is shofar, with trumpets and cymbals and making music with stringed instruments and harps. The shofar celebrated God's presence and the joy of his people. It marked significant moments. We noted earlier that two key words in Leviticus 23, verse 23 to 25, helps us define the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, and they were remembrance and blast. The blowing of the shofar reminded people of God's sovereignty, the return of God, shout an alarm. The term remembrance is applied also to God remembering his people. Malachi 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. It states in Malachi 3, 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. This verse emphasizes that God not only remembers his people, but he honors their faithfulness. On this day, the Feast of Trumpets, we are celebrating a time of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. The message today focused on the meaning of the trumpets within the symbolism and imagery of the silver trumpets and the shofar found in the Old Testament. First, we have seen that this feast has no title within the Bible. It's simply called the Day of Blowing or the Remembrance Blast. Since blowing trumpets was a distinguishing characteristic of the day, it became known as the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah. And we examined both the silver trumpets and the shofar and their symbolism and their image. With silver trumpets, it symbolized divine communication and unity under God. Its uses were summoning and directing movement. It was an alarm, a call to war. It was used in times of gladness, new moons, peace, and burnt offerings. The shofar showed God's mercy and provision, uses impending judgment, a call to awaken and turn to God, and joy in celebration. As much as these instruments and their uses are noted for ancient Israel, they are also applicable for us today in our journey. The Feast of Trumpets, through the use of the silver trumpet and the shofar, reminds us that God communicates with us through prayer, through His Word, and that He is merciful and provides for us. We are being summoned through our calling that we are in spiritual warfare, a war against Satan, a war against moral degradation that we see around today. That we understand that through this day there'll be righteous judgment when Jesus Christ returns. In the meantime, we are to be awake and turn to God in these difficult days. Even with that, the silver trumpets and the shofar remind us that we are to rejoice in the blessings God has provided, a key of which is our calling and understanding of the plan of God, the peace that it brings. Some may have wondered about the title, Feast of Trumpets, the call. The word call encapsulates the function of both the shofar and the silver trumpets as an instrument that summoned the people for worship, remembrance, and action in response to God's directives. The title can encapsulate our calling as well, a call to worship God as a people, but also in our daily lives, a call to remember that God is on His throne. Remembering our calling as ambassadors for Christ, as ambassadors for the kingdom in our daily lives. Remembering the blessings that we have been given, and a reminder the need for action, living God's way of life through His directives, is found in the Word of God. The Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, reminds us that God is on His throne, and He will return to this earth. However, there are times when events of this world's life and life in general take its tolls, and the challenges just weigh on us and appear to be too great. We become worried about what's going on in the world. We become concerned about what's going on around us, and maybe we're heartbroken by what's happening to us. Turn to 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. It states, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." What about us? Do we feel our mistakes have distanced ourselves from God? How much of our everyday life has taken so much of ourselves that we find our relationship with God has been impacted? This day, the blast, reminds us to awaken and turn back to God. God has not forsaken us. Romans 8, verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. it states, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This day has incredible meaning for those who are called. It symbolizes the return of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, to this earth. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 17. We read verse 16 earlier, but we'll read them together at this time. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 17. It states, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." This day looks forward. The prophecies look forward to the time of Jesus Christ's return to this earth. We all look forward to that, not only for us, but for the entire world. But it's also, this day is a call to action for us, of a turning to God, of preparing ourselves for the kingdom, of acknowledging God's sovereignty and knowing that all belongs to him, to be thankful and rejoice in the blessings we have received. It is a day that reminds us that the blast, the sound reminds us that God remembers his people, that God has not forgotten the people he is calling today to his family. Have a great remainder of the Feast of Trumpets and the Fall Holy Days.